Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The world seeks to be praised and honored by the mighty, yet never once reflects that they are frail and flighty. But what I truly prize above all things is He, my Jesus, He alone. What is the world to me? The fastest growing religion in the United States right now is called the Nones, N-O-N-E-S, not to be confused with a religious order in the Roman Catholic Church. That is, those who identify as having no religion in specifics. That is, they do not identify, they do not call themselves anything in particular. That is one of the fastest growing religions that we are experiencing. Many of them have rejected the faith handed down from their parents or their grandparents, or maybe their parents didn't really give them much of a foundation to begin with. But on top of that, we see church body after church body that claims the name of Christian continuing down a road of paganism. We see Christian groups choosing not to side with the scriptures, not with the word of God, but rather with the world, what the world deems is necessary right now. They have rejected the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and instead embraced the God of the alphabet soup. And that God is none other than the devil. The devil and his lies that he spreads. That is what is being worshipped. How else can you explain that thing that I sent you that many of you undoubtedly have seen called the Sparkle Creed? A creed that confesses all sorts of blasphemy. When we got up and we said the words of the Nicene Creed, words that have been confessed by Christians since the 4th century, there were churches who confessed blasphemy and called it Christian. This is what we are experiencing right now. At this point in time, the United Methodist Church is going through quite a large split. And I mean large, because so far, 6,000 of their congregations have left. To put that in perspective, the Missouri Synod that we belong to only has 6,000 congregations. That would be like the entirety of our church synod leaving. But they are leaving for the correct reason. For their church is on a trajectory, along with the other mainline Protestant churches, toward paganism. I sent you about a month ago, if you're on the email list, you saw how drastically denominations are on a downward trajectory. Ours is on that trajectory as well. However, ours is much slower moving. I believe that that trend will continue. But I also believe that there is not a single soul that Jesus Christ has claimed that is lost to Him. If we look around us in our society, when we see all sorts of pagan things, all sorts of demonic things creeping into our schools, creeping into our movies, our television, all of these different things that we see, we can feel like we are alone. Elijah definitely felt that. Elijah stood up against the prophets of Baal. He stood up against the prophets of the devil. And he confessed boldly that Yahweh is God, just as his name reveals. He professed this so boldly that he put the prophets of Baal to the test. Right before our Old Testament lesson for today, we see him having, during the midst of a terrible drought, have water poured all over an altar that he said, Yahweh will consume. The prophets of Baal did everything that they could to call down their false god to burn up the wood. And yet, nothing happened. And Elijah poured water after water in the midst of that drought and said, Yahweh is God. God consumed with a fire that altar. And Elijah had all the false prophets put to death afterward. The people that day, with their lips, professed that Yahweh is God. But don't forget what happens later. God sends rain, the drought ends, but in response, the queen, Jezebel, sends word to Elijah that just as Elijah had done to her prophets, she will make sure it is done to him. When the queen, in all of her terrible power and authority, even that she had over her husband, when she calls you out and says, I will put you to death, I will make sure that your life is ended, and you've seen year after year people confessing a God that is not real, even though God has so richly blessed them and they can't even see it, you begin to get discouraged. You begin to feel like you're the only one left. And that's exactly what Elijah felt. And so God calls him aside. And God reveals to him that there are 7,000 people left. 7,000 people out of all of Israel that had not bowed the knee to Baal, that had not worshipped him with their lips, with their hearts. Only 7,000 out of all the people that had been taken away. God tells him that he is not alone. And on a day like today, I am so thankful to see so many of your faces here today. And I hope that you look around and see your brothers and sisters in Christ, but also recognize that there are still plenty of spots available. Plenty of people that are part of our church family that are not here today. And that we have a whole community that is not gathering anywhere this morning. In Waterford, we have, even in our small community, a wonderful mission field. In your own homes, among your own children, there is a mission field. You do not need to go to Africa, even though you could. You do not need to go overseas to be a missionary. Proclaim the works and deeds of Jesus right here. Begin in your homes. Talk about Jesus with your neighbors. I assure you that as often as churches throughout our country and Europe are on the decline, while denominations see people being shed left and right, while pastors can have conversations even among different denominations, that there was a great reshuffling over the last 3 years. Not every knee has bowed to the alphabet soup or the God that it worships, the devil. There are still plenty of Christians left, but we have a lot of work to do. I firmly believe that Jesus Christ will return. I firmly believe that because he has promised to do so. Whether or not that will occur in my lifetime, I don't know. But I know that every day that the Lord has blessed us with brings us another day closer to that reality. And Christians for the last 2,000 years have lived with that reality as well. You might not be called out by the First Lady of the United States. She might not say that you are going to die for proclaiming Jesus Christ. Your life might not be threatened for being a Christian. You might not be killed for calling on the name of Jesus. That people know that you are a believer in Jesus. But at the same time, all of those could happen. And so we need to be prepared for them. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus allows a miraculous catch of fish. These men are out all night long and catch nothing. But at the word of Jesus, they put out once again. And there is so overwhelmingly amount of fish that two boats are filled with them and they begin to sink. And yet Peter doesn't stare at that. Instead, he stares at the one who makes all things new. He stares at the one who has done these miraculous things. He stares at his Lord and his salvation. And he cries out, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Oftentimes we look for these sorts of miracles done in our own lives. But the fact is that every single day that the Lord has blessed you with is a miracle. Every single day that you have to look at someone that you love is a miracle. If you have children, each and every one of them, as I said last Sunday, are a miracle, a gift given from God. All of these things are miracles. And yet we still look for the big ones. But the fact is in all the gifts that our Lord gives, we should still find ourselves in the same position that Peter did that day. On our knees before a perfect God, a righteous God, a just God. For we too are sinners just as Peter was. We too are sinners just as the world has convinced droves to follow. The difference is that we are sinners who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are sinners who have been given the gift of grace, the gift of faith, and we have a confession to make. We are sinners, this is true, but we have a sinless God that died for us. We have a sinless God that took our sins upon himself on that cross. We, even though we are sinners, even though we are on our way to death, have a Lord that can never die again. A Lord that is alive, and because he lives, we shall live also. The disciples forsook everything to follow him. And you might not have to do that. But the reality is that you might, and you need to be prepared for it. Do not be so concerned about the world. I love our sermon hymn, our hymn of the day, "What is the World to Me?" It's one of my favorite hymns. It's a hymn that we have at home in a children's book as well. But it reminds us that as much as the world rages, as much as it cares about things that are not Jesus, as much as it seems like it is in complete and utter control, the King of all creation still reigns. He is still seated on his throne. And the day will come when we will be with him. So take heart in the words of Peter. Do not let them revile you so that you revile them in return. Do not become disheartened, but rather be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Do not return evil for the evil that is placed on you just because you are a Christian. He writes, "For who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, let his lips cease from speaking deceit, let him turn away from evil and do good, let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." At times it can feel like the Lord doesn't see all the wickedness going on. And the world will tell you that's because there is no God. Because a good God would not allow these sorts of tragedies. They are wrong. Our good God has done everything to save us. To bring salvation to a world that is so lost without him. His Son is for all. Repentance must come. Who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Even if they put you to death for confessing the name of Jesus Christ, you know what comes next. You believe it with everything that you have, otherwise you wouldn't be here today. This life is so short in comparison to the eternity that awaits. That is what we look forward to. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Keep him holy in your hearts. Do not profane his name among you. and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We will still have joy as Christians because our eternity is secure. We will still rejoice in the Lord our God because the victory is His through Jesus Christ. The church sings. What is the world to me? My Jesus is my treasure. My life, my health, my wealth, my friend, my love, my pleasure, my joy, my crown, my all, my bliss eternally. Once more then I declare, what is the world to me? Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.